Before we look into God's Word, there's one other thing I want to draw your attention to, and that is those of you who are members. A couple of weeks ago, you should have received in the mail a letter outlining some constitutional changes that we believe that we need to make. The trick with constitutional change is that it requires 100% yes vote, absolute unanimity amongst the membership of the church, which means that we have to hear from every single member. And so we'd asked in that letter if you would phone in the church and give your yes to that. About half of the folks, I managed to do that before last week, and still we have about half of the people to go. Canadian, that's half of the people to go. And so that means that we have to phone all of you, which is a pile of phoning. So we want to do a one last ditch effort. Right after this service, I'll be out there in the foyer. And if you have not phoned in, and we need to hear from you, so just come and tell me, and then I can record that vote then, because we have to have the vote done in that way, and it'll save us a pile of work. If you are a member and you have not received that letter and you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, then come and see me as well, and I'll fill you in all the details and how that goes, okay? So I'll be out in the foyer, just to the right here at a table. Please come and see me if you're a member and you have not cast your vote on that. Let's pray together and then get into God's Word. Father, I want to thank you for your goodness. And Lord, I already prayed this morning, but I echo that prayer, Father, this incredible hymn we just sung, Be Thou My Vision. Lord, we desire you to be our vision. There are so many things in life which take our eyes away from you, that become our vision. And the trick for me, Lord, is that so many of these things are good things. Things of friends and of family, of achievements and all kinds of these things, Lord, that you bring into our life and you lay before us that we might do these things. But Father, we need to keep in our hearts and our mind above all that you are our vision, that it's upon you that we fix our eyes, that the accomplishments of life mean nothing. The material wealth of life mean nothing. What matters is you, that our eyes might be fixed upon you, that you would be our vision, that you would be at the center of our hearts, that you would be our wisdom, that we live our life according to what your word says and what you say is important. Father, help us. Help us to live these lives which we have just prayed through this song, because the world tells us so many different things. And Father, I'm thankful that you gather us together periodically, whether they be in life groups or with friends or on Sunday mornings, that you gather us together and allow us to focus on you and focus on your word, that you might be our vision, that we might be reminded of that which is critical. So be with us now, Lord, as we study your word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, it's very good to be back with you. Last week, I was down in Kentucky, finishing off a course that I've been taking for the last little bit. And, you know, this is the honest truth. I'm not just blowing smoke here, but each time I'm on some of these courses and I get together with a bunch of other preachers, in this case, it was with a bunch of United Methodist preachers, I come away so thankful for you. And so thankful that you give me the privilege of preaching for you. It is just an incredible joy. I mean, I know we got warts all over and underwear showing all over and this isn't right and that's not right. I understand all of that. But I'm so proud of you and I love you so much. You know, I'm English, so I'm not very good at this love stuff. As Sheena said one time, years ago now, I'm more and more of a pansy all the time as I get older, but you don't know how hard it is to be married to someone with no emotions. And that, because, you know, not real great at always communicating what's going on inside. But I'm so proud of you. And, you know, one of the books that we were studying, just kind of kicking the tar out of the church, you know, which kind of picked me off. And so as I was arguing this class against this book, and they were saying, come on, Al, tell us what you really think. And I was talking about how some of the criticism that this, you know, about inauthenticity and all of these different things. And I was saying, I don't know anybody that lives this way. I don't know any of these plastic Christians. What are you talking about? Da-da-da-da. And these other preachers said, Alan, you need to give thanks for the church that you're in if this isn't your experience, because it's our experience. And I was just overwhelmed with thanksgiving for you. I thank God for each of you. The problem with that is that's why I had just a terrible week last week. A terrible week last week. A terrible week for my heart. Because in this past week, Shin and I had a little bit of opportunity to walk with several different families who are going through incredible agony right now, and worry and fear and concern and confusion and relational stress and strain, and even a close friend who is weeks away from death, and all of these things. By Wednesday night, Shin and I sat in our church. We were doing our devotion in the living room there, and both of us just looked at each other, and we just said, we are spiritually wrung out because of the pain that some people we care deeply about, some of you, are carrying or experiencing. And that's what I did for the first 2 weeks after I got back, Tuesday and Wednesday. No time to look at the passage of Scripture because of all this agony. My prayer, pray for you, and all of these different things. But I thank God for today's passage of Scripture, because that was the context that was going on in my heart when I dove into this passage, and the Holy Spirit really used it to revive me and to breathe life and even joy back into me. We just about finished the book of Romans. Jim preached on Romans 14 for us last week and did a great job of outlaying what that does. And this week is the first 13 verses of Romans chapter 15, which really sums up. Steve, you're back. God bless you, brother. Steve Wellwood's back with us after a year of mission down there in Oklahoma, trying to help out those godless Yanks. Thank you for listening. Sorry, Scott. Good to have you, brother. Forgive me, Lord. So chapter 15, the first 13 verses there, they Judith too. Sorry, sister. oh man, let's get into the Bible. Verse 1. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not please ourselves. We should all please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it's written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and the boys, might be confirmed. And moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. For it's written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. Again it says, rejoice you Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise and rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope, here's the verse. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 14 and these first 13 verses of chapter 15 it really could be summed up under the theme of pleasing our neighbor, which verse 1 and 2 lays out for us. These verses actually are the conclusion of chapter 14. And really, verse 5, I think, captures Paul's entire message for this chapter and a half when Paul writes these words, with one mind and one voice, in spite of all of these differences that are around before